Okay, great. Well, thanks everyone for showing up on the call. I've got a couple people sort of Skyping me trying to get in, so if I seem distracted, I'm just trying to make sure that people get on the line. But if you are having trouble getting online and you know someone who is trying to get online, the number to dial in to this conference call is 218-844-8230. And access code is 371378#. Okay, so first off, I just wanted to mention that the theme of this call is Untap the Wizard Within. I'm going to be speaking with special guest Susan James, who is a self-discovery master trainer. I hope I got that right. A little bit about Susan. I'm not going to give you the normal bio because she always tells me she's the person behind the person. She's sort of like, you know, there's some people out there that are doing really magnificent things. They're doing things that are shaking up the world. They're on top of their game. They're creating results. They seem to do it with ease. Well, in some cases, Susan is the person behind that person. So, which makes her a bit mysterious. But at the same time, what she teaches and what she teaches by example has been extremely impactful on me. And I thought, what a pleasure and what a great opportunity to speak with her live on the phone. So, Susan, welcome to the call.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate this opportunity.
So, I've been getting a few questions about what it is you do, but what I thought would be a good place to start is, you know, you have a unique perspective on the universe and how it's structured, the rules of the game, the rules of engagement, and how to, you know, the theme is manifestation, but I guess, so I'm starting with my question is, so Susan, what do you think how does the universe work and how do we make it work for us? I guess that's the question.
Well, I think the simple answer to that, Steve, is that the more you understand the mechanics of awareness and consciousness, the more you can live your life deliberately. You know, we're coming into a new age. You know, we've gone through many different ages, the agricultural age, the industrial age, the technology age, and most recently the information age. And most people find that they have like way too much information. They have so many answers and their heads are so full of all this information that they're really not able to tap into themselves, their true self, their intuitive guidance, and be able to tap into what is right for them. So as far as how the universe works, it's very simple, and the mind makes it very complex. So I believe that the more a person is able to develop the very simple techniques and tools to manage themselves and the forces of their consciousness, then the more they can live their life deliberately and the more they can understand a much bigger picture than the one that they're currently caught in their mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'll even take it one step further because, you know, I remember at one point I'd said to you, one of the beliefs that we worked through together was, not being unworthy, but not being valued. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Not being valued. So, you know, when I'm with my wife and I'm feeling, you know, that I'm waiting for her and we're going to be late because we're going somewhere together. It could be for dinner. It could be me and another couple, whatever it is. I'm like feeling undervalued in that moment and that frustrates me. And you had asked me, you know, where else is that showing up? And it was showing up with the engineering that I'm doing. It's like I'm getting a certain consultant rate, but I'm worth so much more. And I know that consciously, but there's all these other layers. And so what I had said to you is I said, well, you know, in that moment, I had said to you, well, now I'm aware that I'm not, my time isn't being valued, and that frustrates me, and it's affecting me financially, it's affecting me in my personal relationships, so, you know, doesn't the belief go away sort of thing. And what's your answer to that? I mean, what do you say to someone like that? It's like, well, I'm aware that I have this belief, you know, so what?
Well, let's do this. Let's go back to your question about how the universe works. Number one, the construct of the physical universe that we are in right now is duality. So you can't have day without night, good without bad, front without back, right?
Right.
And it is therefore valid that human beings feel duality. There's some things they feel good about. There's some things they don't feel good about. In fact, the more you explore how human beings work, the more you'll see that the only two things that motivate a human being, number one, the desire to feel more good. Number two, the resistance to feeling bad. So bottom line is we like to feel good, but we don't like so much to feel bad. But it is just as valid as feeling good because of the construct of the universe. Now, our consciousness is made up of three forces: awareness, empowerment, and limitation. And the more that a person is able to develop the skill, and it is a very simple skill to develop. Just as we've gone through these different ages, people have had to learn new skills. I mean, computers come to mind. How many people grew up learning how to write on a typewriter and then, boom, they were able to switch to a computer, whereas many who'd never had that experience have had a challenge with a keyboard, but that is what's running the world right now. So bottom line is that the skill to develop, the primary skill to develop, is to be able to quieten the mind. To be able to manage the mind. Because all of you listening right now, you are aware that you have a mind right now. If you become aware of your mind, you'll notice there are thoughts in the mind right now, right? So you are not your mind. You have a mind. And the more that you can develop the ability to run that mind, have it do what you want it to do, then the faster you'll be living deliberately. Now, to go on to what you were bringing up, Steve, about those feelings that you were having, is that as we grow up, things happen. Mommy, daddy say, don't do this, or bad boy, or bad girl, and it doesn't feel good. And we don't have a strategy as a little one to be able to manage the feelings inside that don't feel good, and so they get suppressed in the body. And people keep suppressing their pain, their emotions, whatever else that they've gone through in their life, they keep suppressing them in the body. And that is why people behave on automatic, especially when they're under pressure. They will behave on automatic and words will fly out of their mouth. They'll do things that they really don't want to be doing. And they know are not things that feel empowering to them, but they still somehow cannot stop taking those actions because they're so on automatic inside of them. So along with being able to quieten the mind and become more self-aware, a person can become aware of where in their physical body they have stored these stresses. We call it the shadow self. The more that a person can become aware of their shadow, the more they can manage it, and we have a very simple process to show people how to shift it. You know, I talk about the story of, remember like the cartoons that had the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other? You know, we all have that side of us that we like, right? And then we have that side of us that we don't like so much. But the truth is, the key to the world changing, and that is what I and my trainer team and my company, my husband and I, he put together the techniques we train people in. This is what we are committed to, is creating an enlightened civilization. But that starts one person at a time. The number one person to become a friend of is yourself. Does that make sense, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, part of it is... at least my experience is it's about embracing both polarities. It's like, okay, you've got the little devil, but you've got the other good guy. And it's like, embrace both sides, embrace both aspects. Because when you do that, then these limiting beliefs, these disempowering ways of being dissolve.
Absolutely. And in fact, the more aware you become, the more you will see that right on the back of your greatest weakness is also your greatest strength. Like in my world, it's never enough. But that's a wonderful belief because if it was ever enough, I wouldn't get up every morning and keep striving forward and moving forward with my vision. So as I say, the more aware you become, the more you learn to live out of the head and be present and live in the now and be a human being rather than a human doing, then the more you see the true perfection of it all. You know, we're not here to suffer. We are not here to kill each other. We're not here to fight each other. We are here to fully tap into our potential and deliver the gift that it is that we have inside of us that nobody else has. Each one of us is so unique. And tapping into our uniqueness, our potential, I believe that's what life is truly about being alive, really waking up and enjoying the thought of the day ahead. That is my belief. And I believe that if more people were tapping into that potential, they were more aligned with themselves, they'd have more power, and the world would look like a very different place.
And you know what, Susan? That's what sets you apart from, I would say, the majority of the self-help movement. Yes, there are a lot of impactful people. Yes, I've had mentors in the past. But I guess I would say in this moment in time, you've had a big impact in my life. And it's because of that, it's never enough. I love that, it's never enough. And not in a scarcity way, in an abundant way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's never enough.
Everyone's doing the best they can. There are many wonderful people out there who are doing many great things, but there's no one doing what we're doing. And the very simple reason is this. People are awakening, and they're awakening to a whole new part of themselves. And what's happened in the past, the people who've had impact on both you and I in the past, you know, they had a major impact on us. However, today, in today's world, we have to shift from talking about concepts of being present, managing limiting beliefs, and living your vision, to the actual experience. However much I talk about what it's like to swim in the ocean, none of that talking or that concept or those ideas have anything whatsoever to do with me being in the ocean. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's a major gap between talking about something and actually living it. You know, I'm living my ideal life in every way, and every day gets better. And I believe that that is a model to become. And I believe that that's a, and you mentioned it earlier, you said living by example. I believe that that's very much about being in alignment and integrity.
So tell me a little bit more about these forces. You said the forces that govern the universe. I think there was three.
Well, there are three that really govern. Our consciousness is made up of three forces: awareness, empowerment, and limitation.
Okay.
And that is the foundation of everything that the self-discovery life mastery process is about. Now, understand, we don't train people in some fandangled, made-up idea or program, whatever. We actually train people to understand how they actually function. Because if you don't know how you function as a human being, you can't do a lot to change things. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yeah, yeah.
And the more that you understand how something works, the more you can do something about it. So we do two things. We train people in going from a concept to an experience. And number two is actually being able to understand how it works. We have a triangle. Top of the triangle is awareness. Then bottom is limitation on one side and empowerment on the other. And the more that a person becomes self-aware, the more they can manage those emotions. They can manage those limiting beliefs that are stored in their body, and they don't have to be at their mercy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And if it's okay, I'll share a quick story of, our call. Okay, so we got on the call, I think, I don't know, it was a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. And 3 days after that call, I was watching this video, and it was an internet marketing video. And he explained something to me about getting clients. I'm a coach as well, so I'm always interested in easier, faster ways to get clients. But he explained it in a way that I never saw before. And, you know, this is something I've been at. I've been on the internet since 2007, 2008. So when I saw it this way, I went for a swim with my friend last week, and I said, he goes, "You sound really excited. You know, this seems like a big breakthrough from you." And I said, "It is." He goes, "When's the last time you had a big breakthrough like this?" And I said, "It's got to be at least 2 years. I haven't had such an impactful insight where I'm really excited now because of the way he presented the information, and it more importantly, the way I saw it. I saw it in a way I never saw it before and felt, you know, one, this is something I can absolutely do. Two, this is something I can actually teach and share with other people. And four, this is going to be, or three and four, it's like I can impact more people by doing it this way and charge more money. So to go from like my current coaching rates and then multiply that by five was like, that was an easy thing to do, but because of the insight, because the limitation hadn't been there. So I don't know. It just, I guess I just wanted to say is that, you know, once you do eliminate the limitation, once you do embrace both polarities and you do become aware, you know, the yin and the yang, it's like, okay, well, I really like what I'm doing, but I don't feel I'm worthy or that I'm getting, you know, the value's not there. And as,
you bring up a great point, Steve, because the reason we call ourselves self-discovery trainers and not coaches is because we train people in a very simple set of techniques so that they can tap into themselves. Because as you said, just with that example that you used, when you let go, and I'm talking about this is letting go, when you let go of a belief or a sabotage pattern, it literally leaves the body. I mean, there may be layers of it because you may have been piling it in there for years. But as you release these layers of resistance or stress, whatever you want to call it, that are stored in the body, literally, you see the world differently because every one of us has our own answers. What's right for me isn't right for you or isn't right for the next person. Every one of us has every answer that we ever want right in front of us. And the only reason that we can't see it is because of our limiting beliefs. I'll give you an example. One day I was in a dress store trying to find a top to go with a suit, and I was trying to match this color, and I suddenly found myself saying, I am never going to get what I really want. And I stopped. I mean, I just stopped dead in my track. I says, oh my goodness, I have that belief in every area of my life that I'm never going to get what I really want. And of course, as soon as I became aware of where it was stored and I shifted it, then things exponentially started shifting. And so that's a great point that you bring up. We are our own worst enemy and we are our own best friend.
Yeah. I guess it is a sensitive topic because, you know, on some level, some people, you know, if this is something that I, when I'm working with a client, I try to bring up this topic, probably not till the third or fourth week I start working with them. And maybe that's my own limiting beliefs, my own, you know, because at some level, you know, 9 out of 10 people I work with know that we'll call it the mindset, but really it's the emotional bot, you know, it's the emotional, it's everything. It's the whole piece. We work on that 9 to 10 times. They know that we're going to be working on that. Although I want to bring it up in a subtle way. So it's not like they have to tell me their life story about what happened when they were three, because that's not what you need to do at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
So eventually when I do get to that point and I get straight with people, it's like, you're the one that's screwing this up. You're the one that's messing it up. You're the one that's creating these results. You got 100% ownership, okay? And when they own it and then they realize it's them that owns it, then we can do something about it. Those end up being my best clients. Those end up being my best clients. Wow. So what...
I think most of us are a mystery unto ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, most people, often people around you can see the challenges that you have going on, but admitting them to ourselves is a real challenge. And that's the ego, the mind at work. Nothing wrong with the ego. The ego gets a lot of bad press. In my world, it's just a defense mechanism for our identities and our beliefs as we're growing up and surviving. We develop strategies, and our ego says, hey, this works really well. Let's keep repeating it. And they get stored in the body. And as long as one doesn't become aware of it and shift it, then it's just going to keep running the show. But it is something that, again, has duality, has an empowering side and a limiting side. I have a massive ego. But if I didn't, I'd be down at McDonald's selling hamburgers. I believe I'm changing the world, and you need a big ego for that. But I use it deliberately. It doesn't run me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's why I think what you're hitting up against, you know, maybe a little bit with you and then with the client, is concern about upsetting people, you know, because, or saying something that it might not land the way you want it to. But my experience is that when you're present and you just are real with people, then they're just very real back with you. And if not, you know, it's like, they might go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not, yeah, and that's not aligned with me and what I want to do with the world. So, so I kind of see this as like, there's two parts to this. I'm trying to simplify this. I love to simplify things. So it's like you got before transformation and then you got after transformation. Okay. So, and the transformation is part of what Susan teaches. That's the self-discovery technique. So before transformation, I'm going to just be honest with you guys. This is your experience. Okay. This is my experience. It's like, you know, you might have like sore neck, you might have sore back, you might, you know, you want to really give it your all, but you just sometimes find the struggle to get the energy to give it your all. You know that you're really good and you're confident in yourself, but you still feel like you're hitting something. You're banging your head against the wall. You know, you've got this idea, but you've had the same idea for 6 months and it's not maturing or evolving or being refined in any way. You come to a point in a project and you're always executing and you get like halfway done and then you never finish. That's the experience before. After the transformation, it's like there's this certainty that every time you think about what you want to manifest, you might say to yourself like, I just know it's going to happen. There's this belief that you're very, very certain. And when you do feel any bit of uncertainty, you at least know what to do with it, so that you can go back to feel certain again. And I'll tell you firsthand, to feel certain about something that I've been working on for the last 2 years, that feels really good, and I don't have to pump myself up and get excited about it in the morning in order to go and do it, because I just. You know, when you have a belief in something, you just know without a doubt that 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, that it's going to happen. That's a great way to wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, put your attention on this, Steve. Success is natural. Success is natural. Well-being is natural. Enjoying your life is natural. Being prosperous, creating your ideal is natural. What's not natural is people suffering, people getting caught in their heads and being, as I would call them, unawakened, and just suffering and just not feeling alive. You know, I've done both, and believe me, this side feels a lot better than the other one.
Yeah.
You know, but the way that beliefs work is this, Steve. You know, there's a saying, it goes like this, I will believe it when I see it, right? There's that belief out there, isn't there?
Right.
Now, it's actually exactly the opposite. When you believe it with full conviction on the inside, then you will literally attract and create it showing up in your reality. You'll literally vibrate at a certain level, and that vibration will create it into your reality, because beliefs create your reality. And at some level, we are always looking for evidence of our beliefs. But remember, our consciousness is a little bit like an iceberg. You know how an iceberg has just a little bit above the water, but most of it is below the water? What's above the water in our consciousness is like our aware, you know, what we're aware of, what we're conscious of. But what's actually running the show is what is stored in our subconscious or our unconsciousness. That was what you were talking about just now.
Yeah.
You know, it was like you got over, you bought enough of that belief to the surface and let go of the resistance on it to be waking up and saying, wow, I just can't wait to face today. And that's, I believe that's a wonderful way to live. I believe it's the way we are here to live.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking of putting up, you know, to see if there's people had some calls. What did you want to mention anything else, Susan, about the three forces that govern the universe?
No, I just believe that the more a person is knowledgeable about them, and is not just knowledgeable about them, but actually understands how to operate them, and how to manage them, then the more a person is going to be living their life ideally. It's that simple.
Right, right, right. It's like that information is what drives, I don't know, would you say the curiosity or desire to actually implement? Because what we're talking about is like implementation. It's like if you follow this formula and you follow the implementation of this formula, then you can leave, while you don't call it transform life, you call it, you know, being alive. You can be alive and live in that place and live in the world of, you know, just synchronicities and spontaneity and just, you know, miracles happening on a day-to-day basis. You can live in that place if you implement some of the techniques that you teach. Is that not what you're saying?
Exactly. You know, Albert Einstein once said, you can live life as though nothing is a miracle, or you can live life as though everything is a miracle. And when you're out of your head and you're in the present moment, everything is new in this moment. You know, a lot of people think that they know their family, their friends, their business colleagues, their relationships, but they really don't. What they know is their memory of how they were in the past. But when you're just present with a human being, you're just with them in the now, then you're fully experiencing them as they are, not as you think they are. Because what our mind does is it accumulates information and then it projects that onto those people. Have you ever been around somebody and you sort of behaved a certain way and you couldn't sort of quite figure out why?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because they have you in a box, you know, and that's what happens when a person is in their mind, then everything in the world is going into a little box in their mind. When you develop the ability to be outside of the mind, and you're just in the flow and you're operating from intention, whatever it is that you want to create, then that's when, you know, everything flows. That's my experience.
Yeah.
I plan what I'm going to say next. I just am aligned and clear on my intention, and I just say what intuitively comes up as exactly the right thing to say for somebody to be who's listening right now to hear.
There was Mark Victor Hansen from Chicken Soup for the Soul series of books. He always said, I really remember this one quote. He said, always, like, don't, you know, talk down to kids. Always talk up to them. So you're kind of saying something. It was something I could relate to. Was like, okay, well, instead of, like, talking down to the people, you know, you, like, you sit beside someone in a meeting, or you go over to your parents' place, and you're hanging out with your brother or sister, and you just got this, like, oh, I just want to kill them, or I just want to punch, you know, I just want to do something to them. You just, you know, and it's like, You can come from that, or you can come from, well, what's possible with them? Like, what can I do to bring them up as opposed to bringing them down? And what 99% of people do is they're trying to bring down the people around them so they can feel good about themselves. And it's like, well, if you, you know, and there's people in my family that do that too, and I completely, you know, appreciate them because it gives me that contrast. It shows me that there's people like that, which makes me appreciate even more that there's people that are not like that, that appreciate...
Well, it's very simple, Steve. There are two parts of us. There's our lower self and our higher self. Our lower self, ego, our higher self, true self, whatever you want to call it. And if you just notice, I asked you earlier to become aware of your mind, you know, and you realizing, those who are listening, that you are not your mind, you have a mind, then there's another part of you that's aware of yourself right now. Just become aware of yourself, your body, your mind. You know, there's another part of you. And some people would call it soul or spirit, or you could call it the observer, you could call it the witness, you call it peanut butter for all I care, but there's another part of us. And the more that a person is living from that place, the more they want to merge. You see, the agenda of the ego and the agenda of the higher self are diametrically opposed. The ego is about, hey, I'm important, you know, I'm a personality, look at me. You know, it's all about the self, because when a person's operating from that place, they're always looking outside for answers. Now, we call that outer referral. So they're looking outside for the answers. The people who come to self-discovery are the people who have been seeking, and they are ready to move to be a seer. Now, a seer is a person who is tapping into their own answers. Because the more that you tap into your own answers, and you stop looking out there, the more you just want the best for everybody, starting with yourself. Now, of course, some people would say, oh, my God, isn't that selfish? Well, my experience is that the most selfless thing to do is to be selfish. I use the example of the airplane. You know, if you're traveling on an airplane with a child, they talk about the oxygen mask, who to put it on first. And who do they say to put it on first, Steve?
You.
Exactly. Because if you don't have it on you, if you're not getting the oxygen, you cannot do a thing for the kid or anybody else around you. So the more that a person takes care of themselves, fulfills themselves, then the more they can be there for others and to support others and do what it is that they're here to do. So those two forces, it all comes back to the two forces, the light, the dark, the shadow, whatever you, limitation, expansion, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the it's amazing because the more that I talk to you or listen to you, the more I get in these conversations with people. And then I sit there and listen to them and I'm like, got my story running about, you know, this conversation about this person. But the more that I start to become aware of that voice, what happens is it's like meeting a new person for the first time. You don't really have anything to go on. It's like I just met someone new today and everything was very new. But then what happens, there was some transference because every time I saw someone I already knew, I was like thinking or and having an experience of them being someone that I've never met before. And it's a really neat place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a magical place to just be present. You know, when you're present and you're connected to yourself and you're aligned with yourself and you're living your ideal life, you know, you feel benevolent. You know, you want the best for others. You know, it's a little off the subject, but right now there's a lot of noise being made about us getting into another war. And, you know, it's like if you put those world leaders together in one room and you had them get present with each other, there's no way that they'd want to be killing each other. Mm. You know, when you realize that when you're hurting somebody else, you know, you're really hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And but people have their karma. You know what karma is? What goes around comes around, and everyone comes into this lifetime with their karma. And the faster they can accelerate their karma, and that's really what we do, Steve, is that the people who come to self-discovery are people who are ambitious. They know they're on this planet for a bigger purpose than the one that they're currently living. They may be quite successful. They may have fulfilled a lot of things in their life, but somehow inside they feel empty. Their soul is hungry, and they know that they're here for a much bigger purpose. And that purpose is to connect more to themselves, learn how their consciousness works, fulfill their potential as human beings, and shift the planet. You know, our vision is on our website, and it's a big vision. Some people who read it say, oh my gosh, how are you ever going to do this? Create an enlightened civilization. I say, well, it happens one person at a time.
So I think that's a good entry point to maybe spice up the call a bit.
I love that. Let's spicy it up, Steve.
Let's spice it up. So what I'd like to do is invite... it doesn't, you know, whoever gets to the call, ask the question first. I don't have this formalized. I kind of wanted to be this whole process to be spontaneous. So
cool.
Whoever, has a question for Susan and not something you can just Google, like, you know, how to get motivated or something. I want it to be something that's really going to test her and put her in a position where she's got to dig deep into her reservoirs of awareness to pull up the answer. So,
I love it.
And whoever's
got a
challenge. A challenge. Yeah.
Good. Come on down.
Come on down. So whoever's got a really good question for Susan, and you know what? Whatever the question is, we are totally open to it. What we'll do is first hit *6 to unmute the line. Unmute yourself. Say where you're from and what your name is, and then we'll go to the question. So we'll just open the line here for a minute and see if there's anyone who's got a question for Susan.
And sometimes the simplest question can be the most profound.
Hello?
Hello.
Mary, this is Lucena.
Lucena?
Yes.
Hi, Lucena.
Hi.
Where are you calling from, Lucena?
I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Very cool. What did you want to ask Susan?
It might not be very technical. I haven't done a lot of research on the subject. I just started following Steve like about 2 years ago when I started school. But I noticed you said something about becoming aware of your mind and knowing where it is stored. And you said something about shifting it. Could you possibly give me more information about figuring out where it's stored and how do I shift it?
Sure, absolutely. So what I'm hearing you say is you'd like to know how to quieten your mind. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I'm going to give you my website, because on the website, which is S for self, D for discovery, lifemastery.com, you will find 2 audio downloads. One is an introduction to the self-discovery life mastery process, and the other one is a recording that my husband did of a technique that we call present moment awareness. And it is about how to get your attention out of your head, how to get more present. And, you know, I told someone the other day, Steve, who actually had responded to your first email, he's in San Francisco, and I said, if you would take a few moments every day and listen to, not just listen to that technique, but practice that technique, then I promise you, you're going to start seeing things change. And the more present you are, you know, whether it's driving a car, whether it's in the shower, whether it's with your children, whether it's eating a meal, then the more your life is full. Most people are sort of putting food in their mouth and, you know, they're not listening to people. They're in conversations, but they're not actually hearing what's being said. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, Luciana, go on that website, sdlifemastery.com, and listen to that technique. And then if you have any questions, you can always email me at susan@sdlifemastery.com, and I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
How do I mute
it? Yeah, if you can hit *6. So, again, Luciana, I think it should mute you again.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Hello. Are you still there, Susan?
I am.
Oh, it worked.
It did work. What a miracle, right? Isn't it a miracle when everything works?
I wanted to ask you a question. Would it be okay if I posted the link to those audios on my blog underneath this recording?
Absolutely. Definitely.
Okay, great.
Yep, and if anyone has a question, they'll feel free to email me.
What I'll do,
we have a very simple agenda. Our agenda is to support people in accelerating their karma so that they are living their ideal life sooner rather than later. This is an amazing time to be alive. There's so many possibilities. There's so many opportunities. And a lot of people are just so caught up in their emotions and just being stuck that they're not able to tap into that potential. And that's what we're here to do, is to support them in tapping into their limitless potential.
Excellent. And what I'll do as well, Susan, is I'll put a link to that audio, as well as a contact form that goes to your website, so they can get, if someone wants to reach out, they can get in touch with you.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, let's double the spice here. I'm thinking like a Caesar, you know, like you put some more spice in it.
I love it.
Okay, so if there's anyone else who's got a question for Susan, hit *6, unmute the line.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, this is Grace, and I'm calling from Connecticut.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Hi. Hi, Susan. Just quickly, I've been working with some of this. I was thought for the Steve videos, and I know I had emailed Steve and told him, by doing some simple things, I created an amazing job for myself with a huge salary increase. I'm driving the car I want. But currently I'm a little not frustrated, but just really wanting to to share this with my husband, who struggles a little, and also my son, who is dealing with some PTSD. He's a Marine back from Afghanistan.
Wow, and my husband's a U.S. Marine.
So I just, you know, what would be some simple steps? I immediately thought I would love for my son to listen to your husband's recording of Quieting the Mind, and just helping him to get centered.
Well, absolutely. You know, my husband's a U.S. Marine. My husband grew up as a cowboy in Fort Pierce, Florida, and then he served in the U.S. Marines. And one of our intentions at some point will be to support servicemen and Marines, you know, for when we come back. But definitely have him listen to the website and then email me with any questions, and I'd be happy to answer that.
Thank you so much. And
thank
I
you,
am so Greg. Excited. In this new job, I'm just finding success is natural.
It is.
And it's
oh, that's so
wonderful.
Great. That
yeah,
is so
thank
great.
You both so much, Steve. It's been so amazing just, you know, discovering your videos, and I really appreciate it. You guys are doing amazing work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Grace.
You're welcome.
See what an impact you're making on the world, my friend?
Yeah, well, I don't get
that. You know, what do they say? The purpose of life is a life of purpose.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get calls like that very often. I'll get the odd email, but it's always nice to hear,
sure.
You know, real flesh and blood, someone who's had an impact. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any other questions for Susan? For Susan James, if you do have a question, just hit *6 and just say your name and where you're from.
Looks as though you'll have to come up with the next one, Steve.
I got lots for you.
Good.
Okay, so I'd appreciate this. This would be helpful for me. I think the topic of human potential is a good one. I actually was surprised. I did a survey of my list earlier this year. It was in May, I believe. The topic was actually money. I was asking people what their biggest challenge with money was. And I went through a series of questions, and the questions were something like, you know, what is your biggest frustration about, you know, making money? The second one was, you know, something like, what frightens you the most? Really penetrating questions. And in exchange for that, what I offered was a free version of the course for the people, I think for 5 people that answered those questions.
Uh-huh.
And this was where the aha came. What people were saying was their biggest nightmare around that topic was not fulfilling their potential.
Uh-huh.
That was a shock to me, because that was the same reason why I got into self-help or the human potential movement to begin with. That was what was gnawing at me. I knew I had potential, but I didn't feel like I was living it. So here comes my question. My question is, if you were to simplify it and put like a formula, what would you say is, you know, the formula to living your full potential?
The formula for living more of your true potential, I don't believe there is a limit to it. I don't believe that anyone gets anywhere. I mean, we're all headed in the same direction, you know, in a wooden box or whatever way it is that we're going to go out. But I believe that the only place actually to be get to is right here, right now. And I believe that that's what is the foundation of how a person can fulfill more of their potential, is to be more in the present moment. You know, Steve, in the past, the myth was that if you wanted to become enlightened or you wanted to be at peace with yourself or at peace with God, whatever it is you want to call it, that you had to go meditate in a cave in the Himalayas for 25 years in an orange saffron robe and have a begging bowl, right? Wasn't that like the way you did it way back when?
Yeah, and that's the picture I had. You know, it's like I got to go and stay in these. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so my husband, who, as I mentioned earlier, grew up as a cowboy and was a U.S. Marine, he's a Celtic spiritual warrior. And he was determined to create a strategy that would be, number one, relevant for himself, and then, of course, you know, for other people. But he was, you know, 25 years meditating, you know, that's, you know, we're America. You know, we want it now, right? Fast food. You know, we're in the West. You know, Western consciousness is very different from Eastern. Eastern consciousness is much more feminine, excuse me, and Western is much more masculine. So it's like, we want it now. And so that's really his life purpose, has been to create a strategy to support people to be living in a meditative state, to become enlightened, to have self-mastery, to master their lives, their businesses, all areas of their life, but now. And I believe that that's a key component, is to, number one, become more present and aware. Number two, be able to manage limiting beliefs and sabotage patterns. And number three, this is critical, is to be able to shift your attention to your ideal or your vision. And everybody has a vision inside of them. Some have been buried them down way deep. But everyone has a unique vision. You know, Steve, it's a little bit like a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle. If there are pieces missing in that jigsaw puzzle, it's not complete. And one piece of the puzzle is not different or more important than the other. Like the jigsaw piece that our president occupies is not more important than the guy who's parking my car at the valet.
Right.
Everyone is different. Everyone has a different role. Now, the valet guy is not going to do a real good job as the president because that's not his purpose. And vice versa. Every one of us has a piece in that puzzle. And human beings tend to, or the ego tends to sort of think, oh, well, I'm better than that. Or, you know, if I make $1 million a year, I'm better than somebody who makes 10,000. Well, at the end of the day, if you're in an airplane and the airplane's going down and it's about to crash, then it doesn't really matter if you're sitting in first class or if you're sitting in the other cabin, right? You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
We are all human beings. Every
yeah.
single one of us. And so to be able to tap into that potentiality, it's a very simple strategy. And that is what we train people in. Because it's experiential, people have to actually experience it, if you know what I mean.
I got
but
that.
But it is about, you know, it's about mastering yourself. It's about mastering yourself and being able to tap into that vision. And the vision, people say, oh, well, I'm looking for my vision. I'm not living my vision. Well, the reality is, whatever you're doing right now is your vision. Now, do you have another vision? Absolutely. Do you have another one for next month, next year, 5 years out, 10 years? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when people say, oh, my gosh, I'm not doing this or that or whatever, things should be different, then that's why they get caught in a struggle, because they're not fully owning that what they've created, the reality that they're in right now, is the reality that they've created. It may have been from subconscious or unconscious beliefs, but everyone is where they're at, and that's exactly where they need to be. And the more that a person can own that where they're at is what they created, then the more they can move forward from that. Does that all make sense, Steve?
Well, let me build on that, because first of all, it does make sense to me, but there's a nugget for me that was kind of coming out, which is at some level, if you do have this vision, it's going to be, for it to be fulfilling, it's got to be something that you want. So, so there's, I kind of look at it as like, there's the things that you want and then there's the things that you don't want. And there's the things that just happen to you, right? Which might be on the don't want list.
But there's also the should, Steve.
And then
the should is a big category. You know how many people who are listening or who are out there in the world are doing what they think they should do? They don't want to do it. They hate doing it, but they're trying to please mommy, daddy, or society, or somebody else. Does that make sense?
Oh, wow. We got to dive into this, because I want to talk about the shoulds. So when people are shoulding on themselves, so that's just a limiting belief. So an example, like, I should, like, there's a, I should do what the boss says. So people in a job, right? I should do what the boss says. I should do what the corporate company says. I should be doing all of that because that's what they said I should do.
Right.
So, okay. So if someone's in that place, they're in the shoulds, how do they get from, you know, that to living this vision that we talked about?
Well, a lot of people, Steve, to be honest with you, they create getting a wake-up call. You know, the word emergency, you can also look at, as being emerge and see. Mm. What popped into my head was a story of some guys. They worked for one of those financial companies in Manhattan in 2008, and they got laid off.
Right.
And or maybe it was one guy, and within, I don't know, a year or so, I watched a thing on television, and he is making flavored, like, ice cream bars, and every week he's producing these amazing new flavors in this little tiny kitchen working with his dad. He'd come out with, like, bacon, avocado. Like, his local community, he'd have, like, a little stand at a corner on a gas station, and every week everyone in the community would want to know what this guy's flavor of the week was. The guy was in bliss. He was so happy. He was doing what he loved. He wore shorts and a t-shirt, and he was giving so much pleasure working with his dad. Now, if that guy's job in Wall Street had never, you know, disappeared, gone away, he would never be doing it. So my point is, a lot of people get a wake-up call. Are you with me? And they don't always listen to that wake-up call. Ideally, a person would wake up and they say, you know what? I'm not happy doing what I'm doing. It's time for me to make a change. Now, how can I find out how to do that? What is it I need to do to make the next step? But that's all part of the awakening. You know, a lot of people wake up one day literally and they say, I am done with this job. Boss, you can go. Well, I won't get into expletives. But, you know, I'm committed to living my purpose. It's like leap and the net will appear. It's like taking a risk. Does that all make sense?
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that for the people, like, if someone is living in the shoulds, I should be doing should, this whole entire, you know, film of this weight of obligation, that at some point you're saying some people receive the emergency, which is like emergency. Right.
Some people wake up and some don't, and that's okay.
I got
it. The wonderful thing about being present, Steve, the really wonderful thing about it is that when you're present and aware and you're not thinking about something or having an opinion about something, everything is just the way it is. There's no problem.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So those people who are shoulding, they're just doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And one day they may wake up and they'll say, you know what, I want to create something different.
Yeah. Well, and that comes back to the point. Well, so what I was going to say, my words would be like, for the people who are shooting, there's people who are shooting and there's people that are not. It's all okay.
It is. Everything's okay.
It's okay.
Now, everything is. Now, some people could be listening to this right now and they're going like, what is she talking about? What I would say is learn how to be aware and present and then you'll see.
Yeah, because
from no mind, everything just is the way that it is.
Well, again, it comes to embracing both polarities. You're like, there's the yin and the yang, the bad and the good, and it's all okay.
It is. In fact, the more aware you become, the more you'll realize that your greatest power is right behind the shadow. You know, when you said you were going to spice it up a little bit, and I said, come on down, it's like, that's my attitude in life. It's like, where am I limiting myself? I want to go after that shadow.
Right.
Now, I'm not suggesting that people do that right at the beginning, because this is a process.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying jump in, you know, I'm maybe scaring some people away as I talk. But the bottom line is, you know, as you become more aware and more aligned and more powerful, you can manage that shadow, and you realize that, you know, when I look back on my life, the things that I gained the most of, the places I grew the most were because of some disaster. It felt like a disaster at the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But those are the times that I grew the most as a human being. You know, and when you're willing to plunge yourself right into the unknown, which is what the ego hates the most, the unknown and change, That is what the ego hates the most. But that is where the other side is. That is where opportunity is, potential is, pure potentiality is right on the other side of the unknown.
Now, here's the thing that you didn't specifically mention that is really wasn't apparent to me when I started on this journey, oh man, like 6-7 years ago, but is very apparent to me now. So it's this, it's that you, when you, before you kind of get into this mode of being like, okay, you know what, I'm going to become more aware. I'm going to become more present and I'm going to become empowered and I'm going to release limitation. I'm going to release limiting beliefs and I'm going to overcome any challenge that I can. There's a certain vision. There's a certain ideal in mind of what your upper limit is. And I'll tell you that now that upper limit is completely changed for me. So this is the thing you didn't mention is that, I guess you did, Susan, you said it's limitless. And that is the key, is that wherever you think is super awesome right now, you're thinking to yourself, man, if I could just achieve that. You have no idea because the ceiling on that, there is none.
Right, absolutely. You know, we are not religious. We love all the teachings. My husband spent hours, thousands of hours and years studying all the great teachers. We see them as teachers. But one thing that Jesus said was that ye shall do everything that I have done and far greater things in the end times. And that's what, you know, the more I become aware, the more I manage my consciousness and live this life, the more I realize what a baby I am in the process. That potential, that ceiling, we'll put it like this, Steve. The ceiling is whatever it is you believe it to be. If you don't believe there's a ceiling, then guess what? There won't be a ceiling. Does that make sense? Beliefs create your reality.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so just to recap on the strategy, because I asked you earlier, was saying, you know, this whole thing about the reason I got into the human potential and even self-help to begin with was because I felt unfulfilled. I felt that I had more potential. And you mentioned, I was like trying to listen, but then I'm like, should I take notes? And I'm like, I'm just going to listen. And then I missed it. I heard that the strat you had mentioned, there's 1, 2, 3, and then 3 was vision. But I missed the 1, 2. And I'm kind of bringing
one,
you back.
One is awareness.
Yep.
Quieting the mind. Top of our triangle. On our website, you can actually see the foundation of self-discovery, life mastery. So the top of the triangle is awareness. Then the bottom one side is empowerment and the other side is limitation.
Right.
And the more that a person can shift their attention from what doesn't feel good to their vision and how it feels, the other thing that happens is the more they tap into their intuitive guidance. And that never lies. When you tap into your intuitive guidance, that never lies. Everyone knows who's listening now that when you really tap into what feels right inside of you, that it always guides you right. You might not always listen to it or do what it's telling you to do. I know I certainly didn't for many, many years. But it's a wonderful thing when you live from that intuitive guidance.
Well, this is a really important point, and I'd like to emphasize it, is that, and this was something that became clearer to me probably in the last 3 years, is that it's not, and let's talk about vision a little bit. You know, it's not necessarily, so your vision, in your mind's eye, you have this portrait of the world. Now, for some people, they're more kinesthetic, and for other people, they're more auditory. So creating this picture in their mind's eye is not necessarily the easiest thing, but again, that's a skill set. It's something you develop. Actually, it's been done, you know, I think historically, if you look at different inventors, Alexander Bell. I'm thinking of the guy who invented AC current, and his name's not coming to me right now, but
Tesla
was one, you know, and he actually visualized his inventions to the detail of dimensions, and the guy built so many things and he never had drawings. Now to an engineer, that's insane to be able to visualize to that level without having any drawings and then build it.
Yeah.
To me, that's like, he just skipped the whole step. It's like, you know, you put it on paper, but you got to remember the guy was visualizing when he was a kid because he had this, I can't remember if he had a disease or he had something where he always, he was trying to visualize all the time. So he got really good at it. So over the years, he developed this skill set where he's able to visualize this entire machine in detail with the finest dimensions. and, you know, spatial kind of like ratios and everything, and then he built it without even putting a drawing together. So what's my point? My point is that to develop a vision, you not only need to see it, but you need to feel as if you have it, you have it now. So if it feels, this is one of the things that when I work with my client, Susan, is that visualize it, but visualize as it would feel to you. If without the feeling, there's nothing there.
Well, exactly. It's going back to the iceberg. What's above the water is what's in the mind, but what's actually below the water and the feeling part of it is what shifts your vibration. And so, yes, you know, the way that we have a very simple, what we call a life perspective. It's like a personal evaluation. And people look at their lives and they rate them, all the different areas of their lives as to how they're feeling about them right now. Then they begin to tap into some of their limiting beliefs and sabotage patterns to become more aware of them. And then they create a vision that is based on their ideals. And they pick words for their vision off of a sheet of paper that feel a certain way. Because every single one of us feels about a word differently. Everyone actually, you know, sees things differently. We're all in our own universe. So by tapping into the feeling, because ultimately, Steve, everybody wants something because of how it makes them feel. The guy who's looking to buy a lotto ticket doesn't want to buy the lottery or win the lottery to have a stack of paper bills with dead presidents' faces on if he's in the U.S., in a closet. He wants the feelings that spending that money on whatever it is he's going to spend it, that's what he's after.
Right.
So with a vision, it's not like the picture of what it's going to be. It's the feeling of how it would be if that was realized. Does that all make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we have that, by the way, anyone who's listening, I don't have too much space right now for new clients, but I have a team of 12 trainers, and they will be more than happy to walk anyone through that life perspective. It's complimentary, and it's a powerful, it's like a two-hour experience by telephone, or obviously in person if you're in South Florida, but it's a very powerful process, and we've had people who just did that, and no other workshops or none of our personal training, and their lives completely transformed. So that's enough on the table to anyone who's listening.
Perfect timing.
So tapping into the feeling, you're right, that is the key.
Perfect timing. That's we're around the 60-minute mark. So is there anything else you wanted to add, Susan? I will have your links on my blog as well. So.
Oh, I appreciate it, Steve. You know, I appreciate your commitment to supporting people. And I've definitely spoken to people who told me what an impact you've made for them. And, you know, that this is a big job, you know, creating an enlightened civilization. But anyone who is listening to this, I know they're listening for a purpose. And I trust that they have given themselves a good experience and gained value from it. And if your heart is telling you that you want to connect with me or one of the self-discovery trainers or go on our website, then I would urge you to listen to your heart or your intuitive guidance and follow it. It's in my world, it's the wisest thing there is to listen to yourself.
Yeah, well said. Okay, great. I really appreciate you coming and doing this call, Susan. And I thank everyone who did come on the call for your questions. And I wish everyone a fantastic week.
Awesome. Bye-bye, Steve.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.